I just want to bless you again this morning for entering into that time of worship, time of singing and coming before the Father and praising Him and lifting up your voices. I believe that God is blessed through that. There's no way to describe how much I believe it blesses the heart of the Father when we're willing to worship together and to bring honor and praise to Him. Just goes again to show the power of words and what it does when in the heavenly realm when we praise God and the strength that it brings to each of us as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and be led by God and share the words of praise back to Him, that He is blessed with that, and through that He brings life. I've titled the message this morning, Words of Life. And I thought about a lot as I studied this here message this morning about the impact of words and what words do to a person and how words lift up or they tear down. And so in the I'm going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13 and 14, the story of Caleb. But before that, I'm just going to share this here verse in Proverbs 18:21. It says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And my mind went back to a time in seventh grade in school where I had a teacher look me in the eye and tell me, "Luke, you'll never amount to anything." And I received that word. And I thought about that word. And I lived on that word for a while. And so you'll never understand and know how much it means to me when Karen, time and time again, has said, "Luke, you can do this. Luke, you can go on. Luke, you can do this. You can continue." And the power of life that was in her words that overpowered the words of death that were spoken was tremendous for the kingdom of God. Some of you remember back at the last camp out, we shared some of our life story and testimony. I shared a bit about my ancestors, my grandfather, who the last 40 years of his life gave up on church, quit going to church. My father, who after my older brother was a bit challenging in his teenage years, gave up and said, "Whatever, you turn out the way you want to." And so one of the hounds of hell that has followed me around is just this battle that I fight is just to give up, to quit trying. But God has given me one that stands beside me on a daily basis, my lovely wife. And she says, "Luke, you can do it." And it's out of that I have done it many times. So I don't really care what you say, but I do care what she says. So the words that she speaks, the power of the words that Karen has spoken into my life has been incredible. It's given me courage. It's given me boldness. It's given me life to go on. There is not one of you sitting here this morning that doesn't need somebody like that in your life. I believe that the powerful words of life that can be spoken into you can give you courage, can give you boldness, just as the powerful words of death can tear you down and can destroy your life. Numbers chapter 13. We have the account here where the children of Israel were led out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They were spent a couple of years in the wilderness, and they come to this here place finally where God says, "Send out some spies up into the land that I promised you and see what's there." And we begin reading in Numbers 13. I'm going to read verses 1 and 3 and 21 through 33 and then go on into chapter 14. It says this, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then it names these men, and in these here names, we find Joshua and Caleb. And in verse 7, or picking up at verse 21, it says this: So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, and Anamim, Shashiah, and Tamiah, and descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, that they carried it between the two of them on a pole. Now you cannot comprehend the size of this cluster of grapes, that two men carried it on a pole between them. I mean, I'm used to clusters of grapes this big, but that's a cluster of grapes. This land was fertile. And they returned from spying. And they returned from spying out of the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, listen if you can hear the words of life and the words of death in this here reading. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So here we have these here 12 men coming back from spying out the land. And there's two of them that are coming and saying, Yes, we can take this land. These cities have big walls. These cities have big men. But we can take this land because God has given it to us. God has promised it to us. Those are words of life that were spoken by Caleb. And he encouraged the people. Then you have these here 10 that come along. And how easy it is for us today to gravitate towards the crowd, to gravitate towards the ones that are making the most noise and have the biggest, loudest voice. And we gravitate towards that. And we say, well, in numbers, they can't be wrong. But there are times that in numbers, they are wrong. There are those that God has put in our lives that speak words of life, and there are those that speak words of death into our situations that we're in. Let's read on in chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. It says this: So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, Let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel, and here comes Joshua and Caleb again. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Sephnah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. That was to get people's attention. Tore their clothes and said, Listen to us. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Honey, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said, "Hallelujah, we will do this." No, they did not. And all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." Now the glory of the Lord appeared into the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And Moses comes on the scene and intercedes on behalf of the people. These people again, who time and time again have rebelled and turned their backs on God. God has brought them through the wilderness to the promised land. This land, listen to what it is. It's the promised land. They have already been promised this land. God brought them here. He sends in spies. The land is what they think. They come back with this here report of what the land is. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's full of good things. Go in and take it. It's yours. And I think how often many of us here this morning have been faced with those same things. God has promised you that you can have a marriage that is honoring, glorifying to Jesus Christ. He has promised you that. You can go in and take it. You can go in and take it. But there are those today that will speak words of death into your marriage and say, "You know what? He is a very difficult, unruly, indecent person to live with. You need to divorce him." Those are the words of death that are being spoken. Those are the words of death that are being spoken. That when you have your children, you are able to love them. And you husbands, you are able to love your wives, because God never asks you to do something that you cannot do. He has told you to love your wife. He does not tell you or command you to do something you cannot do. You see what I'm saying? So it is possible for you to do that. But there are those that will speak words of death and say, "No, it's not. You see, this person here is not compatible to you, and therefore you should just cut it off." Those are words of death. You know what the words of life are? The words of life are, as Caleb said, "God has already given it to you. Rise up and take it. Tear down the walls that are built around your relationship. Tear them down, because it's already given to you." You see, there are words of life and there are words of death. Let's read on in Numbers 14, 20 through 24. It says this: "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word." The verses that we skipped there was where Moses got on his knees and interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. And he interceded on their behalf. And again, God didn't wipe them out at this point. But he says this in verse 20: "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Here we again, we have the situation where God looks at the children of Israel and looks at these men who brought back these here bad report to the children of Israel, and he said, "They will not enter into this land. In fact, they will die in the wilderness. All of you who have rejected my word, who have rejected my instruction." You see, the people, those 10 men that brought back that word, they brought back a word of death. Literally, those people that were there at that time from 20 years on up stayed in that wilderness for 40 years until they had died off, and the children whom they had a concern would become victims of these here people, those children were the ones that went in and took that land. But those that accepted and received that word of death that came through the mouth of the naysayers, those that received those words, they received death. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you receive the words of naysayers, if you receive the words of bad report, if you receive those words, it will bring death to your bones. It will bring death to your spiritual life. It will bring death to vision. You see, the children of Israel, they were there at the promised land. They had reached that place of vision. They had reached a place that they were going for. But these people with the words of death came along and destroyed the vision. And it will happen time and time again if we are not careful to reject the words of death from our lives. Going on in chapter 14, verse 36 through 38, it says this. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. So not only had they spoken words of death unto the congregation of Israel, but they had spoken death unto themselves. And they died from a plague because of the words of death that they had spoken. My plea this morning is this. Would to God that we would be men and women and children who would stand up with the spirit of Caleb and would stand beside someone who needs a word of life, would stand by them, share a word of life with them, because if we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? And why would to God that teenagers, when you're together and somebody starts speaking death unto their parents, I would that you would be the one that would stand up and say like Caleb did, whoa, 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 this is not good, this is not okay. In the workplace, when someone stands up and starts to tear down the boss man and destroy him and sharing words of death about him, would to God that we would be the people that would stand up and say, whoa, this is wrong, and speak words of life into it. Speak words of life. Think about what he's doing. He's giving you a job. He's giving you a place to work. Your parents are giving you food and clothing and a place to sleep. Why would you speak evil of them, even though you don't agree with them? Oh, I would to God that we would be the people in our communities that when someone's standing up and is trashing the township and tearing them apart and speaking words of death, that we would stand up and speak words of life. And say, praise God that we have the freedom to worship God in this township. No matter what they're doing that we don't agree with. In the country, the same with our president. When people are standing up and they are speaking words of death, would to God that we would be the ones that would stand up and would say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Think about the opportunities that we have. Would to God that in the church, in the congregation, that when someone speaks death to the pastor, that we would be the ones that would stand up and say, whoa, whoa. This pastor has been on his knees praying for you that God would protect your soul and protect your heart and protect your mind. Would to God that we would be the people that would stand up and speak words of life, because if we don't do it, no one will. And I'm here to tell you this morning, everyone sitting in this room here this morning needs someone to come alongside of them and put their arm around them and speak words of life as Caleb did. And would to God that the spirit of Caleb would be alive in us. There was boldness. There was boldness in Caleb. He did not fear the enemy because God said the enemy was delivered into the children of Israel's hand. He did not fear the enemy because the enemy was already defeated. The enemy was already delivered. And many of you here this morning are walking. No, I shouldn't say many. That is wrong. Some of you here this morning may be walking under the influence of the enemy, feeling like you are defeated, that you cannot take the wall and you cannot take the city, and you need someone to step up alongside of you and speak words of life. Hallelujah. Would to God that we could do that. Because you know the power of words of life is so encouraging, and so able to tear down and destroy the words of death are. I had to think about, like, in the workplace, it doesn't take long for morale to drop when someone starts bad-mouthing and speaking words of death. It doesn't take long for production to go down. It doesn't take long for everyone to feel bad when words of death are spoken. On the other hand, when words of life are spoken, when employees encourage each other, when employers encourage their employees, and so on and so forth, and words of life are spoken, then there's the courage and the boldness to go on. And would to God that we could do it here as well. That we have the ability to speak to each other words of life, not words of death, words of life that will be like Caleb was in this particular passage of Scripture. Numbers 13:31, let me reread it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in the sight, in their sight." Their words brought death to themselves. It brought death to the multitude. It brought death to their families. It brought death to vision. It brought death to the Spirit of God. And that's what will happen if we engage in words of death. It will bring death, not only to those, not only to ourselves, but to those around us as well. And if you want to live a life that is full of and that demonstrates the power of God, trust me, you need to thrive on words of life. You need to thrive on the words of life. Seek them out. Don't seek after words of death. Don't seek after them because they will destroy. The words of life, they bring fruit. They bring forth life. They bring forth life. Matthew Henry says this, "For putting so much confidence in the judgment of men, when they had the word of God to trust to." This is in regards to this here particular scripture. Let me start over. "For putting so much confidence in the judgment of men, when they had the word of God to trust to, it is a righteous thing with God to give those up to strong delusions who will not receive his truth in the love of it." Sometimes a little hard to follow, Matthew Henry's. "It is a righteous thing with God to give those up to strong delusion who will not receive his truth in the love of it." And I ask you this morning, are you receiving truth? Are you walking in truth? Are you gravitating towards truth? Are you trying to find the truth of God's word? Are you trying to find the truth of God's promises? Are you gravitating? Because if you're not, you will be given over to a strong delusion. To a strong delusion. You know, we live in a time where there is no doubt in my mind that we are living in perilous times, where words, the power of the word, the power of words spoken, has become minimized, has become to a place where it's not regarded in the high regard that back in the Old Testament, a word spoken was a word that was carefully spoken, because they understood that when a word is spoken, when it's put out there, there is no way that you can take it back, and that it just kind of stays out there. So the word that was spoken was always careful to be true and honest and just. There are words of death today that are being spoken by self-proclaimed Christians. There are words of death that are being spoken in the context of it being a word from God. There are words of death that are being spoken labeled words from God. And I know that many of you here this morning may have experienced some time in your life where someone, a self-professing or self-proclaimed Christian, walking up to you and declaring some kind of word over you. That you have a family member that's sick and they're going to be healed, and they speak words like that. Those words can become death. if it is not in the heart or mind of God to heal that person and they die. Then those words become death. So again, I caution you this morning that when you receive words, be careful that the words that you receive are words of life and not words of death. What was this different spirit that Caleb had? God identified that Caleb had a different spirit. And that's, I believe, what the spirit is that that we need to recognize in the day that we're living in, is that we as God's children need to wake up that spirit of Caleb that is in us. Caleb was bold. Caleb was not afraid. Caleb was an encourager. He spoke words of life. Caleb saw that what God said, he believed. He was a man of faith. He believed that God said, take this city, take these people. They're yours to have. The city's yours. The food is yours. It's all yours. Take it. Caleb was a strong man of faith. So what is this spirit? Caleb did not receive the words of death. So again, I believe that if we are going to live out the spirit of Caleb, then we need to be willing to reject the words of death and to stand at the place that Caleb stood. See, we read this here story kind of nonchalantly because we don't understand what Caleb had to go through to stand up and still the people before Moses. What Caleb did, those 12 men that went to the promised land, 10 of them were saying, we can't do this. And Caleb and Joshua, or Caleb in this case, said, yes, we can. And he did that in the face of the multitude of people wanting to stone him. See, we don't get the magnitude of what it means to have a spirit like Caleb had. You see, we are living in some testing times. We are living in perilous times. We have these here skirmishes in Afghanistan and Iraq and places around the world, and it's just a demonstration of a sin-sick heart. But I tell you what, that might be war, and it might be rumors of war. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says this, know this, that also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It is no secret to anyone, it should not be, that we are in a war. And this war is not a physical war. This war is a spiritual war. This is a war where Satan is trying to destroy you, trying to destroy your family, trying to destroy your marriage, trying to destroy your children. This is the war we're in. This is the battle we are up against. And all of us, when we face this battle, need someone with the spirit of Caleb to come alongside and say, we can do this. Amen? We all need it. We all need it so desperately. I believe it as it wasn't this here spirit of Caleb. I believe it's a lot. I believe it's here. I believe it's available. But I believe sometimes we get so lulled to sleep in this here culture that we live in. And we fail to recognize. Somehow it's like if we lay down and be real still, then the devil won't see us. It is time to wake up and stand where Caleb stood in the face of the enemy, saying, your walls will come down because God has declared it so. You have no power over us. You have no power over God's children because God said so. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a promise. That's a promise. And you can take the walls down. And you can enter into the cities. Joel 3:9 says this, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. beat their plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong. And I want that each of us would be able to put our arm around our brother and say, you are able. You are able. Heard the words of Amos as he shared the cards and the meals and the phone calls and just the blessing that he identified as the Spirit of God working through you. Soak it up. Soak it up. Words of life. Words of life. There are those that want to tell you that you're not loving and you're not kind people. I believe you are. I believe you are to the core. Soak it up. My friend, I don't care how strong you are, how bad to the bone you are spiritually. You might be able to pray heaven open. You might be able to pray the doors off of the gates of hell. You might be, the devil might tremble at your voice. But if you're sleeping, it all means nothing. It all means nothing. Look at Samson. When he was awake, he was a mighty man of war. He was a mighty man of God when he was awake. But when he slept, they gouged out his eyes, they tied him, and they cut off his hair, and he was worthless. You see, it is time for the spirit of Caleb to wake up. Because we are living in desperate times. But we're not defeated. And words of life, you are able to speak. And words of death, you are able to reject. And with the spirit of Caleb, you are able to stand up beside your brother and sister and to encourage them on in the walk of life. And by the spirit of Caleb, you are able to stand up in the face of the words of death and speak life into it. Do you really want to? I believe you do. I believe you do. So therefore, yield yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow him to come in and purify your tongue. Like Isaiah said, woe is me, for my lips are unclean. With them, we curse God, and with them, we praise God. With them, we get in trouble, and with them, we get out of trouble. With them, we curse people, and with them, we bless people. Words of life are so desperately needed in our time, in our day. And I believe that this congregation is going to rise up and speak words of life. Because it's the desire of God. It's the heart of God. And it's not okay to speak words of death. It's not okay. Father, I pray that your spirit would reign supreme over us. Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our tongues would be yielded to you. And like Isaiah, Father, we lift up our lips for you to touch hot coals to, Lord, to purify and to cleanse, that we might only speak words of life, that we might only speak those things which honor and glorify you. Father, you alone are worthy of our praise this morning. Father, you alone know the temptation that we face when we're in a crowd where things start to go in a negative spin. God, I pray that you would help us to be acutely aware of the times when words of death might come out of our own mouths, or when words of death are coming from someone else's mouth. Lord, I pray that you would give us boldness of Caleb. I pray that you would give us the faith of Caleb, and that we too would be able to stand and say, we can do this. We do not need to be part of this here words of death. So, Father, to this congregation, to each of us, Lord, I pray that your spirit would pour out upon us, and that we would be able to honor and glorify you in word and in deed. In Jesus' name, amen.